Well, I'll grab the podium if y'all want to go ahead and turn to Matthew 6. That's where we're going to be hanging out tonight, and I'm going to come back down here. We're going to be in Matthew 6 tonight. We're going to break this up over the next couple of weeks as we talk about things that the Lord has told us to do, things that Jesus gave us a command to do. if you go back and if you look at chapter 5, you see that this was the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus sat down. He talked to them, the people that were around. He gave the teaching of the law. You know, they covered, you know, that he came to fulfill the law, the different anger, the divorce, the lust, the love your enemies, the different things that he talked about. And then as he transitions into verse 6, he's going to talk about going into the practice of these, of the different laws, of different things. And really, if you read, and when he is speaking, he is talking to the Pharisees, and he's about to give them the ultimate, you know, smackdown, that pretty much everything they've been doing has been all about them and not about him. But it's not just for them to look out and for them to be aware of these things, but he's also speaking to us now and letting us know that these are things that you need to make sure you look out so that you're not doing the same things that the Pharisees were doing. And that their practices, their rituals were just rituals. They wasn't really to the Lord. They were all about themselves. And that's what he wants us to look at as we break these down. And we're going to be in through verses 1 through 4 tonight. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for these words that we're about to give, and that you're giving us that warning, that to what we're to look out to make sure that we don't, so that we don't do it, so that everything we do honors you and we do it for the right reason. And we thank you for that, these words that you've given us over almost 2,000 years ago that can still be applied to us today. We thank you for that. It's in your Son's name. Amen. As we look at the first part of it, we're just going to look at the first verse. It's your dangers of false righteousness, which is pretty much what the Pharisees of this day were doing. Like I said, he's talking about in this chapter, we're going to look at the needy, the giving to the needy, the praying, and the fasting. But tonight, we're just going to concentrate on the needy part of it, of giving, pretty much giving to the poor and giving to the need. But as he did this, it was to the Pharisees who in this day were supposed to be the men that you can look for, you can look to as great examples of what they're doing was truly for the Lord, that they were there, that their actions were right, their actions were from the heart, and not all about them, but about doing what was right before the Lord. But as God's going to let us know, and as Jesus tells us, that they were not that way. And that's why he's singing them out. He's telling them that don't be like this. You know, there's a story of an old Eastern holy man. He would put ashes all over himself and sit on the street corner in which he lived in. He would cover himself with these ashes to appear to be humble, to appear, you know, just wanting to mourn and serve God. But as people would come by and take those pictures, he would tell them to wait, so he could adjust the ashes so that it would make him appear even more humble, even more just, you know, destitute, being, you know, I'm mourning for our nation, for our people, wherever the city was. But he was doing it so that people would come by and look at him. He wanted them to stop by and say, you know, look at this man. Look, he's covered himself in ashes. He must be humble. He must be wanting to get his nation back right with God, because look what he's doing on the street. But as people were looking, he would want to make sure that it was just right so that they would know, you know, so he would make himself look more humble, but he wasn't out there really doing it for the right reason. And that is, you know, by sitting on the street corner and showing them, he did this. But then that can be us, not necessarily sitting on the street corner, but that can be you as you sit here. And it's what the Pharisees did, that even as they went to the church, even as they went to the synagogues, they would make sure that they would be seen. And those are the things that we want to beware of. Of course, that Eastern man was not the first hypocrite, and we're going to look at that word a lot, that hypocrite. He was you can go all the way back to Genesis and look at really the first hypocrite when you look at Cain, who who wanted, he brought his first fruits. He brought them to God. But see, on the outside, he wanted you to think that they were his best. You know, here, God, here's what I gave for you. But on the inside, they were nothing. It was, this is what I kind of maybe have left over. This isn't my best of my best, so I'm just going to give it to you. Whereas Abel gave his best, and then you know the story from there. God said, I accept Abel's offer, but I decline. You know, I don't, Cain's, it's not, you're not giving me what you're supposed to. You're just giving me what's left over. And Cain had that, well, he wanted people to see on the outside. I'm sure there's not too many people around those days to be able to show him, but even his brother, he wanted to be shown. Look at Cain. He's bringing, you know, on the outside, he's doing everything great, but then the Lord knows his heart and what he's doing. So he knows that he's a hypocrite, that he's, on the outside he's good, but on the inside he's bad. You can go throughout the whole history of the Old Testament just about, and you can find a hypocrite almost in every book, especially as you look at the nation of Israel. Here they are, they witnessed firsthand, especially the ones that got brought out of Egypt. They were told what's happened. Hey, you are God's chosen people. All you have to do is follow his laws. All you have to do is be right. But as they did this, they would always go back and as we said before, there's only two or three kings that are mentioned that did favor in the sight of the Lord. All their other kings in the history did not. They had that on the outside, they appear to be holy. They appear to be right with God. But on the inside, God knew that they wasn't and that they did bad. And then eventually it led them into captivity, slavery, everything, because God's going to punish them for when you try to act like you're doing your best, when you're trying to say, yes, I'm holy before God, but on the inside you're not. And that's what Israel did throughout most of the Old Testament. Time after time, they would be captive. Then they would turn back, but a few years later, they'd be back to their old ways. And they had, you know, look at the different prophets that were going, saying, "You beware, look out, you need to stop what you're doing. The Lord knows what you're doing, and it's not right." They had their warnings time after time after time, but yet they continue to do what they wanted to do. They continued in their path of, we're going to look righteous, but behind the closed doors, we're not. And in our hearts, we're not. Well, that's really the same thing that we get right here. It's that first word of beware. You know, this is coming from Jesus. That is that ultimate, hey, look out. The actual Greek word means take hold, pay close attention to the religious activities and know that they mean nothing. Beware. Don't fall into the same trap of the Pharisees that I'm talking about here. But beware, look out so that you don't fall into the same trap, so that what you give, what you do is seen as right in the heart. God sees it's right in your heart because it's right there. Don't do it just so that the Pharisee or your neighbor says, well, yeah, look at them. They're going to, yeah, he's going to church. They're doing this. That's not what he wants you to do. He wants it to be, you know, I'm going to church because that's where I want to be. I'm giving this because that's what I wanted to do. It's all got to come from the heart. And that's what God wants them to look out for. Look out, beware of those practices. Do not fall into the same as they do. For they have been seen by the people. And that's where their dangers or their false righteousness is. In the end of that verse, it says that they will have no reward from your Father. When they're out here doing this and everybody is seeing them, that's as high as their reward's going to get. God ain't got no time for none of that. He don't want none of that in his, you know, when he tells you to go do it for the rightful reasons and out of your heart, that's what he wants. He don't want a show. You know, if you look at the word hypocrite, it really, what it means is it's an actor who would wear a mask and be overdramatic in his ways. He would be the one that would be acting one way, but really he's nowhere near that way. Well, that's the same thing that how this hypocrite is looked to God, is that you're acting that one way. You have that mask on your face. You're pretending here at church, you're pretending here, even maybe at your job, but as you leave and you go on your private life, or you're saying in your heart, well, I'm going to make sure I go to church just so I can be seen. I am not getting anything out of it. I'm not going to really pay attention. I'm just going to go and I'm going to sit there so that I can be seen. And that's what God's telling us, that's what Jesus is telling us to beware of. Do not act like that, but make sure that it comes from the heart. Make sure that all you will do is from the heart, so that your reward will be right there from God. That's where your true reward will come from. And that's what he wants. He don't want you putting on a parade. He don't want you out here just saying, you know, I'm here on Sundays and Wednesdays, but, you know, on Thursdays when they're cleaning, ain't nobody going to be there, so I'm not going to be there. You know, that's not what he wants. He wants you to not just give or not just do when there's going to be people around, but even those times when nobody will have a clue as to what you're doing. And that's what he wants. And that's what he wants you to be aware of, practicing those righteousnesses that are only before other people and not for the rightful reasons. And as we look into verse 2, it says, thus when you give to the needy, we're going to see right here, it's the thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the street. For they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, you have received their reward. And what he is saying here, this is the benefits or the consequences of false giving. And that's what they're doing right here. I do like, however, how he starts out. You know, the second word in verse 2 is when you give to the needy. It's not a if. It's not a if you want to, you know, if you got the time. It's when you do this. And even though they're doing it for the wrong reasons, they are doing it. And but his command is to when you give to the needy. But he's going to go ahead in this first part, go ahead and say, don't do it like this. Don't be like them. But they are giving. But when you give, give for the right reasons. Don't go to the street corners and shout it out. Hey, look what I just gave. You know, you always have people that say, you know, especially as you look around on TV, people, well, I donated $1 million. I donated $100,000. I donated this. Well, the only reason you're donating it is so that you can be seen. But that's not what Christ wants. That's not what he's telling us here as we give that. He's giving us that, do not do this. Do not go out in the street corners. Do not stand in the synagogue or in the churches. But there's two people here he's primarily talking to. And the first one is the non-believer who acts as a Christian. Anybody can come in here, I firmly believe, and can act like a Christian. All you got, I mean, most of us just come in here on Sundays, on Wednesdays, we come, we sing, we follow along. Anybody can come in here and sit and do that. And anyone can come in here to appear that way. They can sing. They can do all this. And that's what he's telling us is you got to act. Do not be like that person who's just seen on the outside as someone who is a follower, a believer, who does the right thing, who gives his time, who gives his money, his resources, whatever he wants to give. But on the inside, he's dead to the world. That's not what he wants you to be. He wants you to... And that's the warning that he gives, is that first one is like that. And the second is to a true believer who is sinful but appears to be spiritual. You know, they're the type that will come in and will tell you, you know, do as I say but not as I do. You know, beware of those two, because Christ knows the real reason you're doing this. You know, you can come here on Sunday. I can come up here every Sunday night, preach this, go down there on Wednesday nights and give a lesson. And as soon as I leave here, just throw it all away and it means nothing. I can do that, but that's not what he wants you to do. That's the same warning he's given to us, is don't be that way. Don't be the teacher or the Sunday school teacher, the student that goes in just on Sundays and acts that way, but carry it all the way out through the whole week. Be there, act like you belong to him, not just on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or whenever you come, but give to him. Do not be that hypocrite. Give to his cause, give to his needs. Do not be that hypocrite who just wants that status, is saying, look what I give. Look what I gave. Look what I did. You know, we give to the poor, but, you know, I'm here. You know, I go to the mission trips when we go to the big places. But I'm not going to go to the Columbus Baptist Association, who they need people the same amount as, you know, when we go to Kentucky or Haiti or wherever we're going. They need people too. They need people to volunteer. But then we think, people get to the mind, well, that's not a big thing. Nobody's going to know that I go down there. Well, somebody I know, and that's Christ, and that's all that really matters. But we don't want to do that. We want to, not everybody, most people just want to be seen and have that big, oh, well, thank you, great job, look what you did. But that's what Christ is warning us about. That's what Jesus is warning us here. Do not sound the trumpets. Now, this isn't, most scholars believe that they did not literally go out and sound a trumpet, blow a trumpet, and say, you know, I just gave $10 to this cause, or I just gave this person food. They did not do this, but it was that literal, that they would make sure that when they did give, that they would make sure that everybody saw them put that money in the offering plate, that they saw that they gave a piece of food to somebody in need or whatever it was that they were doing. They made sure they saw that, and that's what it's talking about here, is that figurative speech of they wanted people to know. The Pharisees and the rich men of this day, that is what they were really big of doing. That's what Christ came in, and that's why they got some of the harshest, you know, it was truthful and it hurt, but, you know, Jesus said it's got to be said. You know, I'm not worried about your feelings. I'm letting you know where you're doing wrong. And that's what the Pharisees get. And even today, that's where some of us could be, And he's given us that warning to beware. Do not be like this. Do not give just because you want to be seen. Do not give just because you're going to have a reward. Somebody's going to pat you on the back and say, good job, way to go. That is not what we want to do. That is not the whole purpose of Christ's command to give to the needy. And that's what he's warning us about here as we go throughout there. They do get their reward, but their false giving and doing it for that reason, their reward is that pat on the back. That good job, that when everybody sees, oh, well, that's got to be a spiritual man. That's got to be a holy man. Because, look, he's here every time the doors are open. You know, he's here when their big events are. He's giving because that's what they're coming for. That is your reward, and that's as high as it's going to go. And when it comes down all to it, that means absolutely nothing. You know, that extra pat on the back ain't going to get you nothing in heaven. You know, that's not what you're looking for. As you do these things, as you go out and you give to the ones that are in need, God don't care that the pastor patted you on the back or that the pastor called you out if that's what you were seeking, saying, this person gave that. You know, God don't care about that, because if that's why you were doing it, then that was your reward and that's all you had. That's all you're going to get. And that is the warnings that we are getting from verses 2, is don't be like them. Run away from them. He's also, hey, look out for those. You know, look out for the ones that are doing that. You know, beware. You know, we are to help each other. Tell them, you know, you don't have to confront them, but just look out and make sure that you're not doing it and you don't have that same reward of just having the man or the people around you saying good job, because that's not what you want. And, you know, for God knows your true intentions of why, you know, when he says when you give to the needy, he's not just talking about money. He's talking about material, time, you know, money, resources, whatever it is. And when you give those to yours, when you give those to him, his intentions are for you to give them from the heart. And that's what Jesus, you know, he wants us to look out for us. He wants the Pharisees to receive, you know, like I said, they received some of the harshest criticism because they needed it. And yet sometimes we realize, we come to look at ourselves and we're saying, we're right there in that same boat. You know, you can be a believer for 30 years and there's easy ways to go back and say, you know what, when I look back and I gave my time, I gave my resources, I did this, there were times in my life when I only did it because of I wanted people to see me, you know, check the block. You know, it got, there are many times where when I was working overnight that my time that I would give and the time that I would give to the Lord, I would come to church and I'd be dead to the world tired and I wouldn't remember one thing we did. But I wanted to make sure that I was seen on that Sunday morning. I wanted to make sure that they saw me so they could say, yeah, he was here, and then I'd be here that Sunday night. And truth be told, I might as well have been home in the bed because there was nothing I got out of it. I had that in my mind there for several years. That was the only reason that I wanted to do things was a lot, was to sit there and say that I can be seen so that people will think that, look, he's tired, but he still comes to church. And I got that way. And I had to, as I read through this, as I studied this, and I had to look at it and say, that's not, you know, I don't want to be that way. I need to make sure that I'm not coming to church after working all night just so I can check the block. As I'm giving my time, as I'm staying up doing this, I don't want to do it just so I can be seen by the people that are there doing it as well. But I need to come here with that rightful heart of giving my time, my resources to Christ and to God so that it's out of my heart and not just so that you see me here on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. And that's the warning that Christ wants us to get here. You know, hey, you're acting this way, now fix it. You know, you're just like them, but if you don't want to fix it, that's your reward is, good job here by man. That's it. And that's what he tells us there at the end. That's their reward. That's the only reward they're going to receive. But as we look at through verses 3 and 4, but when you give to the needy, and he uses the word when again, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And now as we see, the benefit of false giving is man is going to say, good job. And you might have that temporary feeling of, you know what, I feel like I really did good. Now we're going to see the benefit of true giving, where that reward will come from the Father, and you will have that true sense that you know, you know, I just made a difference, maybe in somebody's life, but it doesn't matter because I did what God called me to do. My heart was in the right place, and that feeling, it can't be, you know, it's unexplainable how it feels when you actually do this stuff, and it's out of the heart, out of what God's called you to do. And that's the benefits of true giving here, whether it be, your time, whether it be your money, your resources, materials, or whatever you want to give. It's that true giving that when you're doing what Christ wants you to do in the right heart, that you will have that peace. And it's just a feeling that's unexplainable when it comes to giving. And the way he says you got here is your left hand and your right hand. Now, he's not, you know, most people are right-handed. And when you do just normal things throughout the day, you don't think about it. You just reach down here and I just grab it with my right hand, which I do a lot. My left hand has nothing to do with it. It's just sitting here like it don't have a clue what my right hand's doing. And that's the way that God wants the giving to be. It should be something that is there that you do all the time, not something that you have to plan for, not something you say, well, let me think about it. Do I want to? Should I? No, it should be that something that is so second nature to giving that without even thinking, I'll just grab something with my right hand. I won't even think to use my left hand because my second nature is to use my right hand, just like catching a ball. You know, if somebody throws it at me, I'm only going to use one hand to catch it. I'm not going to think to use both hands. Well, that should how that's how our giving should be. When we give to the poor, when we give to the needy, it should be that second nature. It should be that, you know, I'm doing it because that's what's in my heart, and that's what God wants me to do. And, you know, a lot of people want recognition for when they do give stuff, and I believe people should be recognized. But there's a lot of times when you give, especially as we look back over this past ski trip that we did, there was several of them that went on it that without somebody giving, without somebody coming to me and saying, here's some money for these people to go, I don't want nobody knowing. I don't want them to know who gave it. I just want them to go. You won't see that. You probably didn't see that return the way that us that were on the ski trip did. The faces of the kids when I got to go tell them, hey, you get to go on the ski trip now. I mean, the smile, the way it made them felt. That was because somebody approached me and said, you know, God's telling me, God's letting me, hey, I can afford it. I can help them out. This is what I want to give. But I don't want to be, you know, just between me and you. And that's the type of giving that God wants you to have. He wants you to give that type of giving where you're saying, I can give it. I'm not worried about whether or not that kid comes up and says thank you or anything like that. I just want to give because that's what God has given me. I'm not a giving person, especially when it comes to the needy. After 10 years on my job, I say I know what they're going to spend that money on, so I don't want to give it to them. That's just how I am, stuff that I have to work on. But when we give it here, and our reward is with the Father, when we give, we're not to worry about what they do with that. We're not to worry about if I give that homeless guy on the side of the road, if I give him $5, in my mind, I'm thinking he's going to buy alcohol or drugs. First thing pops into my mind. But that's not the first thing that should pop in my mind. Because I'm told here, when you give to the needy, that I have to give. He appears to me to be a man in need or a woman in need. My thought should be, you know what? I was a man in need, and a need of a Savior, and Christ died for me, and he sacrificed everything for me. So maybe I need to sacrifice this $5, $10 or whatever, and not worry about what they're going to do with it. I just give it to him. It's the way I show his love, the way he loved me without wanting anything in return. It's how I can give to these people that normally I would say no because I know what you're going to spend the money on. But as I give it to them, I say here. And I do it not because of I'm trying to make myself feel better, but I do it because that's what the Lord commanded me to it, and I should want to do it. I should want to go out and help others in need. You know, it's hard to give what you work hard for. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with saving money, but God didn't say make sure you pile up a bank account so big, you know, by the time you die. Well, you know what? You know, do you really need several million dollars in your bank account? No. Maybe God's blessed you with finances that, you know, I'm a single person, I live by myself. He's blessed me with finances beyond I could never spend that all. Okay, well, he's trusted you with that resource. You should use it for his cause. Use it. Give it out. You know, give it to this. Say, you know what? We have thousands of missionaries that need help, financially help. You know, our church needs financial help. You know, it's given of not necessarily the poor, but when you see something that, you know, we as church members of here, especially here, we are told, you know, this is what we have to take care of. God has resourced me with the ability to build. Not he ain't resourced me with the ability to build nothing because I can't build anything. But some of you can. Some of you can take a pieces of wood and just build stuff and fix it. I can't. Well, those are resources that God has trusted you with. Those are you should give freely out of the heart so that when people walk in here, they can say, wow, this is a church that where the people care about it. You know, because if you care about here, and then it reflects of how, you know, you want to make sure that God's house looks good, that it just feels like a welcoming place to the ones that are coming from outside that don't know him. And that's what the type of giving that God wants you to give here. He wants it to be that spontaneous, natural, that, you know, I don't even think twice when I see somebody in need that I give them $5. It just that's where it comes into my left hand. Don't even know what my right hand was doing. I just did it. There are 7 principles that we can learn from the Bible in helping us give that one, so that we can help us not be a hypocrite, because you do not want to be one of those that are given just in that hypocrite way just so that others can see you. And the first one is, giving from the heart is investing from God. You know, the Lord will, he will reward you for giving. You know, when you give your time, your resources, whatever it is, he will reward you. Now, it might not be, you know, the reward that you want. You might want, hey, I'm going to give $100, you know, God's going to give me $200 back. Ain't that what it says? Well, he might, but his reward might one day be, hey, you remember that $100 you gave 20 years ago when you're in heaven? See that person over there? They're here because of that. That's your reward. You know, our rewards are going to be different than God's, or can be different than God, but he's going to reward you whether we see it now or we never see it. He will reward you for giving from him. If you're investing in his people, your investment in what he cares about, and that it is everybody has a chance to hear his word and what he's done for them. Secondly, giving should be sacrificial. You know, David refused to give if it didn't cost anything. 2 Samuel tells us, you know, if I can live without it, if it's not even going to benefit me none, then, you know, sure, have it. But it's when you're willing to sacrifice that stuff that, you know, maybe you really need or you think you need. That is when the true giving, that's the type of giving that David wanted. And, you know, you think of, you know, the woman with 2 cents. She gave everything she had. That was a complete sacrifice of everything that she had. Here you go. I'm giving it to you. You know, I'm giving it to the church, to God. He knows far. He can use it far better than I can. And that woman was rewarded. She will be rewarded, at least in heaven, for giving everything. She sacrificed everything to give to the cause of Christ. Giving has no relationship to how much you have. If you will not save, if you will not give when you barely make anything, chances are you will not give if you're making $1 million a year. If you're not willing to sacrifice that little bit that you have, your chances are when you get bigger, or not bigger, chances are if you get richer, if your bank account gets bigger, chances are you're going to hoard that money, because then you're going to think, you know what, I need to make sure I had this because this isn't enough. But when you start that habit of, you know what, I only make $500 a week, bills are $300, $400, but I'm still going to give my tithe, I'm still going to give my money, my resources to him. When you do get older, when you do get bigger, when your bank account gets bigger, if it does, or whatever it happens, resources you have, you'll be more apt to give them. And God will know that. If you can't give when you have nothing, you're not going to give when you have what the world would say everything. Material giving correlates to spiritual blessings. you know, if you can't be trusted to give your money, if God says, you know what, I give you this money and you can't even give a tenth of it back to me, you can't even give a fifth of it back to me, the chances are when it comes to real deep down spiritual things where he needs to send somebody to help and talk to somebody, he's not going to want to send you. He's not going to send you because he's not going to trust you. You know, you can't be trusted with the small things, the things that really don't matter, the money. How should I trust you when it comes to the things that really matter, someone's soul? You know, you're not going to, you know, maybe you're not, you know, every time I go and talk to somebody, they turn me down at Grow. I've never seen someone saved, you know. Well, maybe because, you know, God says in those small things, you're not faithful to me in those things. How should I trust you to lead someone? You know, make sure that in the small things you're faithful, because then you will be on the big things, and God will see that on those things that don't matter as much to him, that you are faithful to him, that when those things that do matter much to him, he will trust you with those. Given is to be personally determined. You know, don't worry about what others are giving. You know, he gives 15%. Okay, well, that's him and that's good. I'm going to give 10% because that's what God has put on my heart. That's what God said, you know what, this is what you need to give, and that's what I'm going to give. It needs to be personally determined what you're going to give. Okay, well, I can give a whole day a week to come up here and work on it. Well, you know, I can't do that. You know, we have a church with a lot of retired individuals. They have a lot more time during the day all year round, especially to come out and work on the church grounds. Okay, well, I can say, well, you know what, I can't do that. I don't have the time because I still work. But I can come up here on Saturday mornings, or I can come up here during the week and say, what can I help doing? What can I help do to make this, to make our church look better? You know, it has to be personally determined what you're going to give. You know, like I said, some have been blessed with a more giving heart. Don't try to compete with them. If they're given X amount of time, X amount of resources, X amount of money, don't try to compete with them. You give what God's calling you to give, and he will reward you. He's not worried about how much it is, but he's worried about why you're doing it. Listen, give in a response to a need. Early Christians in these days would not hesitate to give money, would not hesitate to give time. There were many times when Paul had to rely on these people to, you know, at different points, especially with the Galatians, hey, and they helped, here's some money to help with your mission trip. You know, they were willing to give when a need come about without even thinking about it. And that's how we should be. We should, that when someone says, I need help, I'm in need, you know, our question shouldn't be, you know, well, what'd you do with what God, what would you do with the stuff you already had? No, we should realize that if that person is in real need, in need of something, that it is our job to help them out when they are in need. Now, that don't mean come out and say, you know what, that, you know, that's, some of these people are just lazy, will not work. You know, that don't mean that we're to jump up and help them, although we can. But when a real, true, genuine need pops up, we are to go and help them. Those are the ones that need help because God has called us to do that. He wants you to give out and give to those people so that you're doing it rightfully in your heart, of course, but to help the ones that are in true need. And that's what, throughout the New Testament, that's what they did. Paul was in true need. He wasn't out blowing his money on, you know, games or, you know, well, they didn't have that back then, Nintendos or whatever. He was spending his money so that he could go to these different places. And the Galatians realized that and said, you know what, he needs our help. Here, let's give it to him. And that's the same way we should be. You know what, Haiti's expensive. Next year, if we go somewhere else, it might be expensive. I can't go, but I can help somebody go. You know, we got to look at those things just the way the Galatians did. You know, they didn't all get to go with Paul, but they helped to make sure that he could go. And that's what we should do as well, especially when it comes to our ones that want to go on missionary, or want to go on mission trips, or our international missionaries, or our North American missionaries. We say they're in need, we should help them any way that we can. And then seventhly, giving demonstrates love, not law. There's no amount of love, there's no amount of money, no amount of time, no amount of resources you can give that can earn you a salvation. You're not doing it to try to earn something. You're doing it out of love, because of what Christ has done for you. And it's your way that, it's really your way you can say thank you. You know what? You helped me. You gave it all for me. Now let me turn around and give stuff to people. Let me help out those that are in need. Let me help out the ones that are needy. So, and I'll do that because of what you've done for me. And that's what Christ wants. It's not going to save you. You're not going to get to heaven and say, well, you know what, God, I gave half of my money every year to your church. Okay, good for you. But you didn't know me. That's what you were doing it for, so you could thought it could give you a little special edge. Well, you're not going to get no special edge if you're doing it not at the right heart, but because you want to return and say thank you for what he's done with you. You know, throughout these, especially these first four, and then we'll see it as we look in the other ones, I love how he uses the word when. You know, it is when you do this. He's not giving you an option. He's just giving you kind of guidelines of how to do it. Make sure that when you do give, that you're not over here giving for, so that these people can say, good job, way to go. Make sure that you are giving so that you know that the Christ is, look, God is looking at you. He is saying he is doing it out of the rightful heart. Those are the guidelines he's giving you. Not, hey, if you have X amount of money, if you have X amount of time, if you have X amount of resources, then you give it. No, he is telling you when you do it like this. Have it this way so that your heart is true, so that your heart, so the reason you're giving for is not like the hypocrites or the Pharisees or the other church leaders that are doing it just so they can be seen. He wants you to do it and do it for the rightful way. And that's what he expects us to do. And there's no better feeling. He says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Your reward will come one day. You know, I believe the reward will be when you get to heaven and you'll have your crown. But just to hear those words of, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's your reward. That's what you should be doing. When you give your time, when you give your money, when you give your resources, when you give whatever it is, that should be your sole focus. Am I pleasing God and what am I doing? Am I doing it just so that he gets the glory and not me? And that's what he's telling you to do. That's why you do it. This is what you do. Do it so that only God knows. You know, if that's the only way you can do it where nobody else knows, so you don't even take a chance of getting reward, you know, of becoming a hypocrite and wanting it that way, then do it all in private. But he's not saying that you have to do it in private. There's nothing wrong with giving, and then if somebody finds out, there's nothing wrong with that. But just make sure that's not the reason you're doing it. Because one day, you will be able to, just like the 24 elders in Revelations, you'll be able to put your crown before Christ at his feet because what you did here now. That is the reward we seek. That is the reward you will get. And that should be enough reward instead of worrying about whether or not somebody knows that I did this or did that.